Welcome to a special rebroadcast of the 1010 Thrive podcast brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today we're bringing you an episode that we first broadcast in August of 2021 based on the Gospel according to St. Luke. The book of Luke, written by someone who is a meticulous historian and a physician, is the longest of the four Gospels. In the preface, the author writes that it is his intent to lead his reader to certainty through an orderly account of the events that have been fulfilled among us. Luke writes about numerous miracles and parables of Jesus. A miracle is an event that happens that we cannot explain. Jesus uses miracles to demonstrate the love and power of the Father and to prove that he is the Son of God. Parables are stories Jesus tells to help us understand something about God or how we should live. Luke records almost 20 of Jesus' miracles and 24 of his parables. If it's Tuesday, it's time for another top 10 list.
Today's top 10 list.
10 miracles and parables of Jesus recorded in the book of Luke.
Number 1.
A miraculous catch of fish. One day, as Jesus is preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds press in on him to listen to the word of God. He notices two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen have left them and are washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asks Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sits in the boat and teaches the crowds from there. When he has finished speaking, he says to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replies, "we worked hard all night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." When they have done so, they catch so much fish that their nets begin to break. A shout for help brings their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats are filled with fish and they're about to sink.
Number 2.
Jesus raises a widow's son from the dead. This takes place in the village of Nain in Galilee. Jesus arrives in the town, accompanied by his disciples and a large crowd, during a funeral, and sees a dead person being carried out of the gate. The dead young man is the only son of a widow. She is surrounded by a large crowd from the town. When the Lord sees her, his heart goes out to her and says, "Don't cry." Then he goes up and touches the coffin, and those carrying it stand still. He says, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sits up and begins to talk, and Jesus gives him back to his mother.
Number 3.
Jesus heals a woman who has been crippled for 18 years. Jesus is teaching in the synagogue on Sabbath, and a woman is there who has been crippled by a spirit for almost 2 decades. She is bent over and cannot straighten up at all. When Jesus sees her, he calls her forward and says to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he puts his hands on her, and immediately she straightens up and praises God.
Number 4.
Jesus heals a man who is afflicted with dropsy. One Sabbath, when Jesus goes to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he's being carefully watched. There in front of him is a man suffering from abnormal swelling of his body. Jesus asks the Pharisees, an expert in the law, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remain silent. So taking hold of the man, he heals him and sends him on his way.
Number 5.
Jesus heals 10 lepers. On his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travels along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he's going into a village, 10 men who have leprosy meet him. They stand at a distance and call out loudly, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he sees them, he says, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they go, they are cleansed. One of them, when he sees he's healed, comes back, praising God in a loud voice. He throws himself at Jesus' feet and thanks him. And he is a Samaritan.
I'm grateful.
Number 6.
The Parable of the Good Samaritan. A lawyer asked Jesus what he must do to inherit eternal life. Once it's established that the whole of the law is summed up in loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself, the lawyer tries to wriggle out of the responsibility to love his neighbor by asking, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus shocks the lawyer with a parable about a man who is robbed, beaten, and left for dead. A priest and Levite, one who assists the priests, come by, but do not stop to help the man. But then a Samaritan comes along, who tends to the man and pays to put him up in an inn until he recovers. The application is that everyone is capable of being our neighbor, and we are responsible for being a neighbor to everyone, even those whom we may find objectionable, as in this case, in which the Jews hated the Samaritans.
Number 7.
The Parable of the Friend at Midnight. One of the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. After teaching them the Lord's Prayer, Jesus gives them this parable about a man whose friend shows up in the middle of the night, but he doesn't have any food to offer him. So this man goes to another friend and wakes him up to borrow some bread. It's incredibly inconvenient to help, but the third friend ends up responding because of the tenacity of the request. Jesus isn't comparing God and the sleeping friend. He's actually contrasting them. If a friend is moved enough by your audacity to act on your behalf, how much more is God who loves you?
Number 8.
The Parable of the Place of Honor. Jesus is invited to dine at the home of a Pharisee, and he watches the guests arrive, each one trying to jockey for the best positions. He responds with a parable that would have been taken as a very specific criticism. He tells them that at a wedding party, you should never choose the place of honor. That way, if someone more distinguished arrives, the host won't have to ask you to move and humiliate you. Instead, take the lowest place. That way, when you're asked to move up, you will be honored. The more significant application has to do with the Pharisees' perceived prominence in God's kingdom. Jesus often warns that a great reversal is coming where the first will be last. He's encouraging them to prepare for that day.
Number 9.
The Parable of the Unjust Steward or the Shrewd Manager. Of all Jesus' parables, this may be the most confusing. Most parables make it easy to discern who the characters are intended to represent. But in this one, all the characters seem to be a little unethical and dishonest. The point of this parable isn't that we should emulate one of the characters, but rather understand the principle. A rich man finds out his manager has been wasting his resources, so he fires him. Not wanting to beg or work a manual labor position, the manager cooks up a scheme to save himself. He calls up all the people that owe the manager, and he cuts their bills in half. This way, the master can get paid, and the people will owe him. He intends to leverage what he saved those debtors into a future job offer. Jesus' point is that unscrupulous people are often more shrewd with their resources than godly people. But where the shrewd manager is able to use money to secure a future for himself, we cannot use money to lay up treasures in heaven. We need to use our resources in a way that considers our long-term goals.
Number 10.
The Parable of the Persistent Widow. To teach the disciples about praying without giving up, Jesus tells a story about a widow who has a case before a crooked judge. Without the ability to pay him off, all she can do is pester him for justice. Over time, she wears down the judge, and he rules in her favor. While Jesus is encouraging us to model our prayer life after this widow, he's not saying that the crooked judge is like God. In fact, his point is that if even a bad judge can be worn down over time, how much more the creator of the universe who wants to give you every good thing? Father, thank you for the life lessons we gain from studying the miracles and parables of Christ. Give us discernment to understand and the courage and strength to do as these life lessons guide us to do. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.